Good morning and welcome to God Talk. Once again, I'm going to talk about spiritual gifts today. This is the third and hopefully the final segment dealing with spiritual gifts. The word in Greek for a spiritual gift in the New Testament is charisma. And we think of charismatic people who have this special personality, attribute, or whatever that attracts others to them. So that's the singular. And the plural is charismata, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. These are in addition to the natural gifts that God gives us, such as intelligence, athletic ability, and these sorts of things. And I've been talking about the specific gifts that are mentioned in the scriptures. And I want to finish, I'll just mention what those gifts are again, because I want to sort of pick this up just in case you're new to the show. And I want to begin with really a theme of conversations that I've had with numerous people over the years, especially when I've taught about spiritual gifts. We want certain gifts, you know. Maybe someone wants to be a great singer, or whatever it is that they want and they hope they get, and then we're children, like Christmas, and Christmas is going to be soon. Oh, I want this gift. I want that gift. Gee, I don't speak in tongues. Does that mean there's something wrong with me? I would like the gift of prophecy or whatever it is. These are gifts that God gives to us. And some of the seemingly less important gifts are, in fact, some of the most significant, like the gift of faith, the gift of encouragement. An encouraging person can literally save a life from someone who, for whatever reason, is suicidal. I've seen that, helping a person to believe that things can improve. At any rate, so I want to begin by reading the whole chapter. I've read sections of 1 Corinthians 12 because it's going to relate to the fact that everybody has gifts, and we shouldn't be trying to evaluate and say, well, my gift is insignificant. I'm insignificant to the church. How many times I've had that conversation with parishioners, because I did serve 10 churches over a 37-year period and maybe about 5,000 persons. So I've had a few conversations over the years. But here it is. The words of the Apostle Paul. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, which were heathens, you were enticed and led astray to idols that could not speak. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the gift of God ever says, let Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. Here's one of the most important passages of this chapter. To each is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Everybody's got a gift. Why? For the sake of the common good of the body of Christ, of the church. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the discernment of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but many. If the foot would say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make any make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? And if the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and those of the body that we think less honorable we clothe with greater honor. And less respectable members are treated with greater respect, whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, then prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. And then he turns to 1 Corinthians 13 to talk about the great gift of love, the three cardinal gifts I'll hopefully we'll say something about as we get into this. Now note, all these gifts are important. So when you think about your body, you don't think much about a spleen, but you can't go very long without it. Some of these internal organs, you know, the liver, they may have less honor. They're not as attractive maybe as a facial structure, but they are absolutely vital to the functioning of the whole. So it is with gifts. In a recent conversation, I talked with someone who had recently retired. And we compared notes because I've been retired. Good slip there. Freudian slip. I have been retired since 2009. And we talked about, and I, you know, it took me 2 years really to make the adjustment to my next life, all right, so to speak. As I said to this guy, we have to reinvent ourselves. I've had this conversation many times. There are points in your life when you have to, so to say, reinvent yourself, move on. You don't just sit back and say, well, it's over. I'm going to twiddle my thumbs and wait until my body ceases. I told him after a period of life and work review, which is what he's doing, he's realizing he's in a life review. He's got to give himself time, let go and let be of what has been, and then he will go on to reinvent himself. And I said that the key to this process is to discover or rediscover your passion. Follow your passion. So I ask you, my listeners today, where is your passion? Where is your passion? And with your passion, and of course there are various kinds of passion, I know. I have a passion for my dog. I've got a passion for peanut butter, which is the first thing I eat every morning. But that's vastly different than my passion for God or my passion for my children or my spouse. But I said to him that with your passion will emerge your anointing. With your passion, which is a gift of God, will emerge your anointing. Now, what do I mean by anointing? It's kind of hard to describe, and you don't usually realize you're anointed until perhaps subsequent. So, an example, I've had both of my hip joints replaced. That's another story. But even before that, when I would preach, the pain of my right or left hip, whichever was bothering me at the time, would be gone for hours. In that anointing, it was like I was physically enabled by God to share what I understood and believed was a message for that day, for that community. Your anointing. You know, God only gives us so many anointings. Find what your passion is, and there, hopefully, will be an anointing of God with these gifts. And with the anointing will come your calling. What is God calling you to do? The wonderful word in Latin is vocare, vocation. God's calling for you, which hopefully is your passion, so you're not being forced to do it. You want to do it. I love speaking. I always have. And with your calling, you'll discover God's gifting. Okay. So first you got a passion, hopefully. And with your passion, you're going to have an anointing. And the anointing will summon up forth your calling that may not be given to you in an hour. Excuse me, it may take you years to discover. And with your calling, you will discover God's gifting. God's going to give you the gifts to do whatever God's calling you to do. And there, as I say, are both natural gifts and then the divine gifts. And your task is to utilize your gifts. Why? Because God's going to eventually, I don't want to use the word judge, but we will be evaluated. My friends, your life will be evaluated by God on the basis of how you utilized and developed your God-given gifts. Now, how do we know this? Well, one of the great parables of Jesus from Matthew 25 is the parable of the talents. Now, the word talent at that point meant basically 15 years' salary. That's a piece of change. So, the idea of the parable is very simple. A guy's a landowner, a rich person, is going to go on some extended trip somewhere. And so there are three people. He says here, gives one person a talent, gives the next one two talents, and the next one five talents. And says, hey, you know, here you go, man. Do something with this. Like you get a life, do something. Show me what you're going to do with it. Well, he's gone, and then he finally comes back. And to the guy who has five talents, he says, so, hey, what'd you do? Well, I went and I developed your talents in this business and the stock market, blah, blah, blah. And now, here you go. Here are 10 talents. Wow. I'm paraphrasing, but this is the gist of it. Hey, good work, man. Well done. Well done. Okay, now I'm going to give you many, many more talents. I'm going to put you in charge of a greater situation because you have really performed well. Then to the guy who had two talents, how'd you do? Well, I have four. You've doubled it. Hey, that's good, man. You're going to be like the guy before you. I'm going to put you in charge of more things because those who do little well will do the larger better. Then he turns to the guy with one talent. Now listen up, all of you who do have gifts and talents, and very few, as you know, actually are developing those talents. So he says, so what'd you do with your talent? Well, I was kind of afraid of you, and so I buried it, okay? And here it is back. Well, needless to say, that guy has that talent removed for him. And Jesus says, those who have shall be given more. Those who have not, even what they have, shall be taken away. And he's taken away, and not a good time and not a good place. That's kind of a scary parable, isn't it? But it's really simple. You have a calling of God. You have gifts, natural, and gifts of the Spirit that will be given to you when you're following your passion. So whatever you do, don't bury your gifts. Don't bury them. Let me give an example. My counseling elder, when I first went into ministry, was the Reverend Dr. Carl Stromberg, one of the finest men I have ever known. He was a delightful, delightful man. And he had a wonderful ministry. Well, he told me this story. He said, Hal, I used to stutter terribly. Terribly. And he had a, you know, therapist who worked with him. But then he said he felt a calling of God, calling, right, and a passion with it to preach. So he wanted to become a pastor. Well, he stuttered that out to his therapist, who said, oh, Carl, no. Really, you're not made for that. You better do something else because you're stuttering. And here I'm going to take a little break and before I tell you what happened to Carl Stromberg. Okay, we're back, and I'm telling a story of Reverend Carl Stromberg and his stuttering. So anyway, he just was convinced that God was calling him to preach, to become a pastor. And his stuttering was horrible, so at any rate, he told his home pastor, obviously stuttering, that he wanted to preach a sermon. Well, fortunately, the pastor said, okay, Carl, if you're willing, you know, if things don't go well, you're willing to maybe be embarrassed, but I'll be with you. Sure, go ahead. So he was age 17. He got up to preach his sermon, his first sermon, feeling called of God, and he did not stutter once. In fact, he never stuttered again. That's his story. God gifted him, called, anointed, gifted. You know, everyone is here to do something. I remember shortly before I went into ministry, actually, which was a change because I was teaching psychology at Iowa Wesleyan College, now Iowa Wesleyan University. And through a chain of events, God called me. And I was ready, and I wanted to do it. Shortly before that, I had an all-night dream. Have you ever had an all-night dream, or it seems that it's all night? It just goes on. It's just no end to it. Anyway, there was like a spiritual figure, whoever this dude was, kind of like Scrooge, you know, the ghost of Christmas past, present, and future. Well, this person came to escort me all over the world, and there was a single idea that everybody was here to do at least one thing. Whether or not they knew it, whether or not they knew that they were going to pass a message from person A to person C that maybe was a lifesaver. So we went around and we watched while different people did that something for which God had called them. Everybody's here to do something. And the great Rabbi Hillel said, to save one life is to save all humanity. And I've been there a few times when people were suicidal. And thank God they listened to me and did not take a permanent solution to a temporary problem. Just that little bit something. So a smile could make the difference, whatever that is. You know, passions can be both short-term and long-term, temporary or permanent. When I was a young man, I had a great passion for playing football. Oh, I loved it. But I wasn't that big. I wasn't that fast. I wasn't that strong. So I sort of grew out of it. Now I enjoy watching it, but not with the same kind of passion. But the passion for God, for love, does not diminish, believe it or not. In fact, that passion for God is a gift of God. And so with this in mind and asking you, you know, what's your calling? What has God called you to do? And have you done it? And it's not too late to do it. I don't care what your age is. I've had people in their 90s minister to me with calm language of enduring faith. Like one woman in her 80s said to me one line many years ago when I was going through a tough patch. Here's what she said. One sentence that has reverberated in my soul, and I've shared it with many others. Yes, this too will pass. Yes, Hal, this too will pass. That was a gift to me of encouragement. Okay, so here's a brief list. I've gone through some of them before, but I at least mentioned them and spent a little bit of time with them. And these are just ones from Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, and Ephesians 4, basically, if you want to read them on your own. Okay, the gift of prophecy. That really means one who speaks the words of God. And again, these are given to the church, so there will always be prophetic utterances. It doesn't mean a person is going to be a full-time prophet, but it means upon occasion, God will use that person to say something that you might even say to this person, you have no idea what you said. Why'd you say that? And they might say, I don't know. Or they might forget that they said it. I've had people say to me, oh, you said thus and such to me. And I've said, really? When did I say that? But listen, I'm not going to say I didn't say it. If it made him happy, good, I'm glad I said it. God does that. Ministry. That's the work of being a pastor, of guiding the body of Christ through its growth into Christ. Teaching. Teachers are extraordinarily important. Let me, from Ephesians 4, I don't know, remember now if I told you this or not, but a really spiritual, mature Christian showed me taking your left hand, the thumb, and these are the fivefold ministries. Your thumb is the apostle. That touches all the other fingers. That's the one in charge. That's the special calling of God. The pointer is the prophet, the gift of prophecy. God wants us to go there. The call is there. The next finger, that's the longest, that's the evangelist. That's the one who goes out there and tries to convert people. The next is the ring finger. And that's the pastor, the minister, who keeps the marriage with Christ, the body of the church, going. And finally is the teacher, and that's the pinky because it gets into your ear. Isn't that beautiful? So, I am, whatever else I am, I'm essentially a teacher. That's my, as a Jew, I'll say rabbi. That's my number one calling. In my work as a writer, in the show, I want to teach people. It's my passion. Exhortation. That's encouragement. Extraordinarily important. Generosity. Being generous. I said last time, not just monetarily, but for me, above all, because I haven't had a lot of money, it's being generous with your time, being generous with your heart, being open to sharing and being there for others. Leading. This is also called administration. It could be understood as a gift of being an apostle. True administration is a vital gift for church harmony and efficacy. And it's something, if I may say, we're desperately in need of today in our country. Leadership. Compassion. The compassionate person are those who really are sharing the very heart of Christ because Christ is so compassionate. They keep alive the ardent love for the last, the least, and the lost. The last, the least, and the lost. And they motivate the church never to forget or neglect its mission to reach out, to save, to heal, and to provide for others. You know, whatever you think of the current Pope, Pope Francis, he's wonderful. He's full of compassion. He wants the Catholic Church against some traditionalists who want, you know, dogma and doctrine first. How about compassion first? Duh. Yeah, I happen to agree with that. I guess you can tell. Wisdom. Wisdom means the understanding of how the world works and, at the same time, how to carry out God's will in the world. Now, here's the meaning of the wisdom we see in Proverbs and elsewhere. It's doing what works, okay? Do this, it's actually going to lead to the result you want, which is at the same time in accord with the will of God. That's the trick. Knowledge. Those who receive knowledge have truths that they can reveal about past, present, or future that God wants others to learn. Faith. And I'll say more about that in a minute. Faith is actually a gift. So the man said to Jesus, who healed this guy's daughter, I believe, help me in my unbelief. I believe, you know, I got a segment of faith here. Could you increase it? Could you please increase my faith? You can ask for that. Faith is a gift. And let me tell you that people who have faith are extraordinarily important in the church and in their own lives. People who I say, hey, believe how it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. So I think I shared with you, I've had people who I counseled who got through tough patches and they said, you know what kept me going? What? Your faith in me. You believed I'd get through it. And that was the clothesline on which I held my strength. Thank you. Healing. And that's the one that's multiple. We have gifts of healing. Healing of body. Healing of soul. The healing power of Jesus Christ is real and given to the church. And it's a sign of God's presence. Miracle working. These are persons for whom God manifests power. They're pretty rare, granted. But it's a gift. Discernment of spirits. This is a crucial gift of distinguishing what is of God, what is of humanity, and what is of the evil one. Without this gift, the body of Christ can be deceived and misled by fakes. Listen, the work of the enemy, who is the liar, and I could get really, I'm not going to name any names here, is the person who calls the good the bad the good, the beautiful the ugly, and the ugly the beautiful. Years ago I wrote, you may tell a truth from a falsehood by this simple test. Though a lie may taste sweet in your mouth, it leaves you empty. And though a truth may burn your lips, it leaves you strangely satisfied. Trust your stomach above your mouth. Okay, tongues. This is a private prayer language known only to God, but it assists you in your pray. In your praying, because I have utilized it, it's kind of a release of the soul. Interpretation of tongues. If there's someone present to interpret the tongues, that's an important part of the community. Then there's evangelism, and I spent 3 years doing evangelism full time. It's a gift of presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ to others in a way that brings them to a saving knowledge of Jesus, of God. Then there's hope. See, faith, hope, and love, these are the three cardinal gifts, which means they're all gifts of God. You can ask for more love. You receive the love of God. It's called agape. In the beginning, we receive love. Love is the ultimate gift to the Spirit. That's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13. In fact, we love because God loved us first. Love brings us into the present. Faith builds us, calms us, permits us to love. And hope. Hope reaches out to tomorrow and the hope in God that says all will be well eternally. No matter what happens, your hope is in God and in God alone. Jesus Christ is the anchor of our hopes. That's the scriptural understanding. Well, my friends, these are all available to you and to us. If you would like to hear this show, I will be putting it on my website later this morning, drhalgreen.com, drhalgreen.com. You take good care of yourself and be open to your passions, especially the passion for God, God's call, God's anointing, God's gifting. Believe, hope, and love. Peace.